Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Luke Johnson about to join us to do some football breakdown. Mark Means is a former wide receiver for the Golden Eagles. He'll be on the show a little later as well. Also, we want to make sure that Southern Miss has a good contingent of fans at the ball game Saturday night when they take on the South Florida Bulls. So we're going to be giving away 4 tickets to the game. All you have to do is call us, be the first to call us during the commercial break. We'll put the tickets at will call. They'll be waiting for you Saturday night. You can go ahead and write that number down, but don't call until we go to a commercial break. 601-264-8910. 601-264-8910. 4 tickets to Saturday night's South Florida Southern Miss football game. First person that calls us during the break. But now let's go to the phones. Luke Johnson needs no introduction on this program. Luke, how are you, man?
Doing good. Getting over a little sickness. So if I sound a little froggy today, that's what it is.
I got you.
It's South Florida week, and I'll tell y'all probably a little later. There's actually a sinus infection story the last time we played South Florida involving me.
All right, Luke, I'm going to be real blunt with you today, and I think it's fair to say that after the Kentucky loss and the performance Saturday night, there is concern among the Golden Eagle fan base about this football team and how well they're going to be able to play this year. Your thoughts about the performance, forget the Kentucky game, we've talked about that, but what I think was for many people a disappointing performance against Southeastern Louisiana, is that a fair assessment?
I mean, I think at some levels it's disappointing. I think the most disappointing part through 2 games is that this team has not demonstrated the ability to run the football. If you look at just the rushing statistics, Clay had that tremendous run at the end of the game, but it's been an anomaly so far. So Rotemaker has rushed for negative 19 yards on the season, which, you know, is sacks and tackles for loss. If you add that back, the Eagles have rushed for 145 yards through 2 games. But if you take away the other anomaly, which is the 70-yard run, the Eagles have rushed for 75 yards in 2 games. And one of those opponents is an FCS school. They're averaging, if you put all that back in, they're averaging 3.3 yards per carry. If you take away Tate sacks, it's right at 4 yards. That's including Clay's long run. So to me, the statistics don't lie. They're going to have to get way better rushing the football to be able to win games.
Right. And Rotemaker, everybody's looking at Rotemaker, but this is right, correct? He can play better with a running game.
Well, it doesn't put all the pressure on him.
Right.
And it allows, you know, I've seen kind of from, and I could be totally wrong, and that's for other people to, you know, everybody has to take. I feel like this offense, from what I've seen, the pass sets up the run. And so when you try to run the football, if you can't run the football, and running the football is, you know, based off the passing game, so that means that if you're effective throwing the football, your run play should be able to produce more. And so that bothers me because that basically means that you're just bottled up, you know, to one-dimensional. And in college football today, maybe, you know, if you're Mike Leach running the air raid, you can be very one-dimensional. But in this league, for this team, you can't be one-dimensional.
Luke, in the broadcast, Austin Davis, color analyst on the ESPN Plus broadcast, was just saying the entire game that the particularly the Southern Miss offense looks flat. It looks unpolished. It looks uncertain. So and they look unconfident. And that's the word that I was that I wanted to touch upon. What does that mean? I mean, when playing with confidence and without confidence, that there is so much of a difference that maybe even an outsider can look down on the field and say, yeah, they just don't look confident now. I'm not trying to talk in circles, but do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, and I think some of that is with a new system. You know, if you take out some of the skill guys, Simmons and Heath and Jackson, who Jackson didn't play, unfortunately, Saturday. But primarily the quarterbacks, Rotemaker would be the exception. But, I mean, these are guys, most of these guys, you know, have been running the system. Now it's a new system. And, you know, from what we found out in the spring, all of us, even when I was on the show doing interviews with you guys, it's a fairly complicated offense. Rotemaker said that in spring ball. You know, it's more detailed from what they ran at Florida State. And so I do think it's one thing for you to have a handle on it in practice. But the game situations, you know, are completely different. So you've got a new coordinator. And, you know, what's the dynamic with Coach Hall and Coach Long? And, you know, they trust each other, they've known each other a long time. Is this Coach Hall's, version of Chip Long? He said it isn't. And so, it's been fairly apparent, you know, on the sidelines, Chip Long not liking what he sees out there sometimes. So that's a good thing. The angst is in some ways a good thing because that means – that they're not running this as they could. And so you feel like there is a much better version of this offense that these guys are capable of, and they have showed at different times.
Does that mean that you would see a heavier dose of Ethan Crawford and perhaps Chandler Pittman, or what do you anticipate going forward?
I mean, I think all the options are open. One thing that, you know, it is a little puzzling, Crawford right now has only attempted one pass, and he completed it. It was that 59-yard nice pass the other day. So what that tells you if you're a defense is that when Crawford's in, he's not a throwing threat. And so I would expect maybe the packages that Crawford is in, that they really have to try to let him throw a little more, or else you're one-dimensional when he comes in the game. So I would like to see how they do that against South Florida this weekend.
I'll tell you something else I saw Saturday that really is rare when you watch Southern Miss football, Luke, is two missed field goals. Does that get in the head of a field goal kicker, or do you just have to wash that out and go kick the next kick?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, everybody jokes that, you know, we are special breeds. We are, and a lot of that comes with perfection. I mean, most of the time, the reason that a guy is on the field is because he doesn't miss field goals, contrary to popular opinion, because he has competition on that team, and he has other guys that make field goals. So Stein's out there because – he's pretty much on the money. I mean, he's been a really good kicker for us. So, you know, how he responds to that, he knows that there are far less misses in his system than there are makes, and you just shake it off. I think probably the one, you know, right before the half is the one that probably will linger with you a little more. You always want to make kicks at the end of halves because they simulate, you know, game-winning kicks. But, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. You know what your ability is, and you go back out and practice, and you work through it.
Punts averaged north of 45 yards Saturday night, so that aspect of the special teams was solid.
Yeah, and so far, you know, Bryce has done a really good job. He's averaging 43 on the year. He's already had three inside the 20. And apparently, you know, there haven't been any breakdowns, and you always like to see that, and I think that does speak. You know, when you play an SEC team to start the season, sometimes if you have weaknesses in your special teams, they get exposed very easily. And so, yeah, right now, Bryce Lofton and the punt team doing a great job.
Luke Johnson, some folks are already pushing the panic button. Of course, we've talked about how fickle sometimes Southern Miss fans can be. But what do the Eagles have to do Saturday to keep more people from pushing the panic button on this 2024 campaign?
You know, on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to have to stop the run. South Florida, and anybody that didn't watch the Alabama-South Florida game, that was a game until early in the fourth quarter. I mean, Alabama went up 21-13. South Florida drove down and couldn't get in, had to settle for a field goal. And It was 21-16 early fourth quarter, and then Bama scored three late. South Florida rushed for 206 yards on the Crimson Tide. And what's surprising, though, is that we've talked, you know, about Brown, their quarterback, talked about him last week. He's only thrown for like 250 yards through two games. And I think against Bethune-Cookman, he only threw for 150 or so. So I suspect this may be a game where South Florida knows they can run the football, and they may try to work their passing game more against a Southern Miss secondary that, you know, has a little more inexperience than normal.
All right, we're going to continue Luke's breakdown of the South Florida Bulls on the other side of a short break. Luke Johnson joining us each and every Tuesday on the show. Mark Means, a former wide receiver that played for the legendary Big Nasty, he's still to come, so stay with us. Lots more Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob and Kelly, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. This segment of the program is sponsored by Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net, right there on Hardy Street. You can shop online if you listen in other parts of the country or state, and have that good stuff delivered right to your front door. No comparison when it comes to Southern Miss swag. Campus Bookmart has the most. Now, Luke Johnson played in three games against South Florida during his career, and I'm going to take you back a little further. Mutual friend of ours, I want you to soak this up for just a second, Luke.
Quarterback Brett Favre to Eddie Ray Jackson over the middle. This play good for 34 yards. It takes the football down to the Alabama 34-yard line. It would set up what would prove to be the winning field goal. Jim Taylor, a 52-yarder, on the way, and it is good, and the Golden Eagles lead the Alabama Crimson Tide 27-24 with just 3 minutes and 35 seconds to go.
And the Golden Eagles held on to win that game, and on the foot of our mutual friend and the very famous Stump Taylor, Luke.
The toe.
It
was the straight on kicker. And I was actually, Dad and I listened to that game. A lot of people forget that was the first time in a long time that a team, regardless of who it was, had beat Alabama and Auburn in the same year at their respective stadiums.
Right. State champions. Alabama state champions that year. All right. The Florida Bulls come to town. I want you to break them down first from what I saw Saturday night. They're big, tough, and strong. And then you have a great history, as does really the football program. Has a pretty illustrious history with South Florida, not as of late, but early on played quite a bit.
Yeah, so we played them four times, and we won the first matchup in 2000 in Hattiesburg. And then 2002, my redshirt freshman year, we went down and lost in the fourth quarter, 16-13. 2003, they came to the Rock, and that was a big turning point. We came into that game 3-3. Seth Cumbie blocked a field goal, and Rod Davis returned it for a touchdown, and we won that game decisively. And that was what led us to the six-game winning streak to win the conference that year. And the next year, we went down and beat them in Raymond James, 27-20. I had a mishap that game, and my voice has struggled a little bit today. I've had some bronchitis and some head junk. Everybody seems to be going through it. So before the game, we were down in Raymond James, and we had, I don't even know who it was, but we had a different team doctor that game. And, you know, if he ever hears this, I'm not calling him out at all. I just find it funny in the hindsight. So I wasn't feeling that good, and I had a bunch of crud going on. And so he gave me some medicine before the game, and I just felt weird the whole game. I felt sluggish. I felt, you know, and so fourth quarter, we're up 27-13, I think. I'm punting inside my own five. Daigle has a little high snap, and I didn't react fast. I felt myself, you know, just trying to jump up and grab the ball. It went through my hands. I recovered it on the three. They score. We hang on to win. So after the game, I asked the doctor again. I said, hey, Doc, I just don't feel good. I feel sluggish. And he's like, oh, yeah, that medicine I gave you before the game, I'm sorry, it's a mild, it has a mild sedative in it.
Which is great to give your punter right before a game, right?
Oh, man. But, yeah, we hung on and won. And those were cool times getting to play down in Raymond James. But this team that comes in, I mean, I've said it several times. I think a lot of people had written this one in and were question as a win and questioning, you know, the Jackson State game. I mean, I think other, you know, than a few other teams on this schedule, South Florida is probably the third or fourth best team that the Golden Eagles will play this year, and they may even prove to be better than that at the end. Alex Gillesh, their head coach, this is his second year, went to Ohio State, and most recently he was the offensive coordinator for Josh Heupel at Tennessee. You remember a couple years ago when they were putting up prolific numbers with Hendon Hooker as the quarterback? I mean, that's their OC. He was at Central Florida before that. Kelly, he was the tight ends coach at Iowa State for four seasons.
Well, so he's certainly a smart guy, not for being a coach at Iowa State, but for leaving when he had the opportunity.
So he was in the Big Ten for about 7 or 8 seasons, and then has been in the Southeast. And so really, really, really good offensive mind, and they've shown that. And he's got a quarterback. I told y'all last week, 4,000 yards combined in passing and throwing. They graduated a really good running back, but they've got another good one this year. They will move the ball offensively. And, you know, right now, they probably, looking back at Alabama, they're kicking themselves. They had an opportunity to beat the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa and just, you know, lost it in the last half of the fourth quarter. So, I mean, Eagles are going to have to bring the A-plus game. The other thing that I didn't say, Bob, in the first segment, what bothers me is early turnovers with this team. And you can say they're freak plays or whatever, but, you know, you can't turn the ball over inside the 10-yard line on offense and, you know, and win games against FBS opponents. So Eagles are going to have to bring 100% physical and 100% mental into this game. They're going to have to play with an edge. And an edge is not so much – I'm pontificating here, but let me just tell you what I see. An edge is not showing emotion after the play that brings unnecessary attention to yourself. If you do what needs to be done between the whistles, everybody sees it. And one thing I am slightly concerned about with this team is the extra pushes – the extra jawing, the extra stuff after the whistle. That's just me maybe venting a little bit, but it's going to attract referees' attention, and you're going to get penalties. And if you want to, you know, if you want to be mentally tough, blow them up in the field of play and then walk off and let them know that they got hit. And so you've got to – the Eagles have to – that is a mental battle. Physically, this team is capable of doing whatever they want to. I just would like to see more mental – toughness and sharpness with them in some of these games.
And great point, too, about the extracurricular stuff. I was a little surprised at how much of that I saw the other night. And, you know, when you're not playing very well, it's probably best not to be doing that. Just go back to your huddle and gear up for the next play. Is that a fair criticism?
Well, you want and back to Kelly's point, you want emotion. Emotion's good. Emotion's infectious. Man, if somebody makes a play, man, like get crunk. But you don't get hyped coming across solo, bumping people, doing all that stuff like to the other team I'm in. Like there, if you make a play, everybody else on that defense or offense is going to rally to you, and that's what's infectious. So it's emotions in the right way. Mm-hmm. And there's certain type of emotions. Referees know the difference between, and I say that maybe with a wink, but between egotistical emotion and legitimate, celebratory, positive emotion.
Right.
And right. So, yeah, I'm not against emotion. Don't hear me saying that. But you celebrate in the right way, and I mean I'm not calling anybody out specifically, but I am saying I think there is a component to this, and maybe I'm just psychoanalyzing it too much. If you have to celebrate more after the play, then you're basically not satisfied with what you did during the play.
Right, right.
And so that's my point, and I think that may speak a little to the mental side of things. And so a mentally tough team knows what they can do between the whistles. And for the most part, that's sufficient for them.
It's kind of like that time, Kelly, I saw that elderly lady on a walker step in front of you at the Chinese buffet, how you shoved her out of the way. That's what I saw a lot of Saturday.
Well, there was only like one scoop of rice left. And if somebody was going to get it, it was going to be me.
She hit the ground hard.
Well, that's not my fault.
You were in great form.
I was just setting a pick, as they say in basketball.
You picked her right off the walker.
Well, yeah. If it would have been anybody but an elderly lady, maybe it was a young buck that was imposing his will on you. Kelly, if you'd have made that tackle, made that play, I would have come and celebrated alongside you.
Yeah.
Look, real quick question, though. A lot of fans that left the game on Saturday, they said, look, the Eagles covered the spread. They got the win. You know, all those sorts of things. They checked all the boxes. But a lot of fans were going, there's just something about that win I don't feel good about. But nobody could really put their finger on it. Can you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Hall said it best in his presser. I mean, it's just they're leaving so many plays out there. And the word that I keep hearing him say over and over again is the lack of execution. They have the right calls in the right situations, and they're just not getting, you know, execution where they need it. And for a coach, that's what's extremely frustrating. When you put people in the right place at the right time and you do that, you know, those guys can't go out on the field and do that. But it is their job to have those guys prepared so in the right situation, the right time, that those guys make the play. And so that you have to – football is a game where you take it – you create situations and then you have to seize upon those situations. And that's what makes wins.
Always good to have you back on the show, brother. And, you know, you're welcome here anytime.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Luke Johnson, everybody. When we come back, we're going to visit with Mark Means, Bobby Collins, Jim Carmody. Now, I know Dima said we need to quit talking about that, but damn it, I'm not going to. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, thanks to our buddy Luke Johnson. We love the guy and always glad to have him back on the radio show. This segment of the program is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the rock, and a great place to catch the game if you're not going to be there. We think you should be there. All the Southern Miss games, though, are on the TV there. As are all the big games. Great food, great drinks, and a lot of camaraderie at 4th Street Bar and Grill. All right, we'll give away four more tickets, 601-264-8910. 264-8910. All you have to do is call. If you're the first caller, we'll set up four tickets, have them for you at the Will Call booth Saturday night. But let's get on to our next guest. Mark Means was a wideout. Back in the glory days. Bobby Collins. I know I'm not supposed to keep saying this, but Bobby Collins, Jim Carmody, Mark Means, I'm never going to forget about those times. They were magical, weren't they?
Oh, definitely. I live in the 80s all the time now.
No, not 80 years old.
Well, not 80.
The decade of the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Mark Means, you were on the field the first time Reggie Collier was put into a game at Southern Miss.
That is correct, and I remember it like it was yesterday.
And it didn't take long for him to impress.
He hit first play. He drops back to pass, throws it about 70, 80 yards, and nowhere near the receiver. But the crowd went crazy when he threw the pass.
In the air, 70
in the air. In the air.
And this is subjective, of course, Mark, but I've always said he's the greatest Southern Miss football player of all time. Reggie Collier.
I believe it. I think he's the best college quarterback of all time.
He was a man ahead of his time, was he not?
I mean, to be the first person to rush for 1,000 yards and pass for 1,000 yards. No, we didn't have the spread offense then, but that was a record back then.
Right.
Now, Mark, you came out of McClure Academy, which was in the South Jackson area. It's not called McClure anymore. I think maybe Hillcrest or that area is where you came from. You were actually recruited by now North Carolina head coach Mack Brown. Tell us about that.
Well, I didn't really know who that was until later on.
He was just Coach Brown.
He was just Coach Brown. He was a receiver coach at Southern Miss. And, you know, my dad got a call from him. I never talked to him, actually. And they kind of arranged for me to go to a spring game. And by the time I got there, he was gone. I don't know if he went to Texas immediately after Southern Miss, but he had left Southern Miss by the time I got there.
And then to Tulane, and then, you know, then North Carolina for the first stint. Then Larry Fedora was there, and then Mack Brown went back to North Carolina.
Yes.
So did you ever have any designs to go anywhere else other than Southern Miss? Because the Jackson area, you got some Ole Missers, you got some Staters, and you got some Southern Missers up there.
Yeah, I wanted to go to Ole Miss, to tell you the truth, just because I followed Archie Manning my entire career, which is why I was number 18 at Southern Miss, Archie's number. But I had a full scholarship to Mississippi College to play football and baseball. So that would be the only other option I had. But I wanted to play in a Division I school. That was my whole goal. So I turned down the full scholarship to Mississippi College and walked on at Southern Miss.
Played for a majority of your career under Bobby Collins, and then of course in the dark of night, Bobby Collins and his staff leaves for SMU. Big nasty Jim Carmody comes in, who was the defensive coordinator as head coach. Do you remember, Mark, the circumstances revolving around Coach Collins leaving and the reaction that you guys had as players to what seemed to be pretty all of a sudden back then?
I mean, it was a shock. It was a shock to everyone because, you know, we had, you know, just played in, you know, two bowl games under Coach Collins, and you didn't know what was going to happen then. But fortunately for us, Jim Carmody stayed and became the head coach, so we had some continuity with the previous team.
Now when you look at your Southern Miss history, you averaged about 11 yards a reception, but with all due respect, you're not a really big guy as far as, you know, the prototype wide receivers now are 6'4", you know, 6'5". What are you, 6 feet maybe?
6 feet.
Okay, all right. So how did you manage back then?
Effort. That was it. I wasn't the fastest guy on the team. I could catch, but I just think it was just determination, and ended up being a 4-year letterman, mm-hmm. and they had a Super Eagle Award my senior year. I got it. So determination.
And the genes run, you know, pretty close because your son Michael was quite a quarterback out of the state of Texas, high school, and your daughter Samantha was a Hall of Famer in cross country. So that had to kind of make you feel proud that the athletic gene, if you will, you know, carried on.
Yeah, and we talked about prior to this weekend on Friday, there was a ceremony in McKinney, Texas, to announce that Samantha was going to be in the Hall of Fame at her high school.
Mark, what was describe the difference between Bobby Collins and Jim Carmody as the head coach?
Well, Jim Carmody was, you know, Coach Nasty, the Nasty Bunch. So
he earned that name.
He earned that name, and I guess I'll tell you the best I can. I'll tell you a little story. After my career was up, I became a graduate assistant, and I was there. I ended up being there 7 years, and I remember Coach Carmody calling me into his office. And he looked at me and says, "Mark, you got to get out of here." So,
and whatever he said, buddy.
So whatever he said, I got to work and got out of there.
Jim Carmody was the original E.F. Hutton, Bob. Yeah, when Jim Carmody spoke, people listened.
That's right.
His career was so remarkable. Defensive coordinator at all three Division I schools. Really one of the great defensive minds of that era of college football. Is that an exaggeration?
Oh, I no, not at all. And one thing I liked about my experience at Southern Miss as a whole, especially under Bobby Collins and Coach Carmody, is that they made you feel like your position was the most important on the team. And it wasn't like, you know, obviously, you know, when you got Reggie, you can say that. But everybody was important. Every play was important. Every position was important. And it made you want to play harder because you felt like you were part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Back when you were playing, Mark, football was king at Southern Miss. The basketball program was in its infancy. Really, the baseball program was as well. But now when you see where Southern Miss football is compared to, quote, unquote, those days, How do you describe Southern Miss football now? It's still in your heart, but for people who might not know, people in your neighbors in Texas who might not know about Southern Miss, how do you explain it to them now?
Well, I bleed black and gold. I always will. It's disappointing, some things. Any way you can get a win is good. So, you know, the fact they got a win this past weekend is good. But it's tough to swallow when you live through the experience that we lived through in the 80s, 90s, and I guess some 2000s too.
When people were afraid to play Southern Miss, not only because you might get beat, but you know that you were going to get beat. I mean, as far as physically, you were going to know you played Southern Miss. And I don't know if that fear is there anymore.
Yeah, we never thought we weren't going to win. Never.
And it didn't matter who you played.
Didn't matter who we played. I mean, you can go look back at the schedules. I mean, Alabama was every year. Ole Miss was every year. Mississippi State was every year. Florida State was every year. I mean, you know, some of the teams that are really good now, I mean, those were our least challenging teams.
You know, I have hanging in my house a framed poster from the last year Bobby Collins was here, the Eagle Fever years. I don't know if you remember that. For those that don't know, and I don't think you can talk about this too much, how magical was the football program in that era of Eagle Fever?
I mean, I'm getting chills now thinking about it
because
I can remember just, you know, every little saying and every little thing, you know, we believe and you know, just all the motivational, you know, speakers that came in. And then, you know, to play in the first bowl game, Independence Bowl in, what was it, 70, 80.
McNeese State
pulled that one off and then played in the Tangerine Bowl, which I don't think exists anymore.
Missouri,
that's correct. And then my senior year, we qualified for a bowl game, but got put on probation.
Yeah,
for just a minor thing too. So
now you became very successful in business in the insurance business, Mark. What did football teach you that carried over into the business world?
Discipline, obviously, and really never quit. Just keep on keeping on. You just keep going. You don't quit. You wake up every day and do something. Do something positive. Do something towards your goal just every single day.
Stick around, Mark. We'll finish the show up with you. Is that good?
Thank you.
Mark Maines on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. More with Mark as we wrap up this edition of the program
today. Is this Frank Zappa?
This is Frank Zappa.
That's what I thought.
It's the slime that oozes from your TV set.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, don't you forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to say hello to our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. We will be there next Tuesday, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday. We were supposed to be at Trust Care Health Clinic tomorrow. We've put that back until next Wednesday because we're going to be under a tropical storm warning tomorrow, starting tonight. So we'll be both at Genesis of Hattiesburg and Trust Care Health Clinic next week. All right, I want to thank Mo Babe and Yay Company, 2902 Hardy Street, for their sponsorship of our show and their partnership with us. We really thank the world of those guys, huge Southern Miss fans. And, of course, Genesis of Hattiesburg, where we'll be next week to celebrate the grand opening, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, and the state-of-the-art showroom, Highway 98 West, plus their wonderful cars, all at Genesis of Hattiesburg. All right, we asked Mark to hang around. Despite what our young protege says, and we really like him a lot, we like talking about the past, Mark, and I like talking about the years that this was a football-dominated school. Would go play anybody and capable of literally beating anybody in the country. You were part of that. I'm sure you still have memories of that.
Yeah, I still got articles posted all around my house. So,
and we talked a little bit going into the break, Mark, that some people in this new age society with social media and so on, the hard-nosed coaches, and I'm going back to Carmody again, some people said that Carmody's style would not work with new age athletes, to which you say
we probably need a Coach Carmody in today's world, just because, I mean, the environment we live in now. We need discipline. We need hard nose. We need fundamentals.
Accountability.
Accountability. So, I mean, and you want, you know, you want that feeling that, you know, the teammates give you. And
when you talked about that, he gave you guys the feeling that your position was the most important one on the field, but yet you guys were afraid almost to look him in the eye or even talk to him. That to me is kind of hard to understand, how you can have so much respect for a person but yet still be afraid of that person.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like growing up. I mean, growing up in the, you know, maybe the era we grew up in. Every coach, every parent was really high on discipline. And now, years later, you look back on it and you're glad it happened. Because it made you who you are today.
And right. It's not happening as much.
No.
Parenting and coaching.
Right.
Parents want to be friends.
Yeah.
My father always made it clear to me. So I'm your father. I ain't your friend.
That's right.
So when did you guys do in your off time, Mark? Like when you guys, were there certain watering holes around town that you guys would sneak off to? Or
are you talking about when we were here playing?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Of course. Well, the end zone. Yeah. I mean,
yes.
Hey, they let us consume our beverages for free.
Oh, they do. What else do you need, right?
Yeah. If you're a football player, then you went in the back door.
Soft drinks, right?
Soft drinks, okay. The Cokes, the Pepsis.
I wanted to clarify that.
And the Cash McCool's. Mm-hmm.
Which was on Broadway Drive.
Yeah.
Right? That later became Bonnie and Clyde's, I think.
Bonnie and Clyde's? Bonnie and Clyde's was...
Cash McCool might have been out on 49.
Cash McCool was down on
Hardy Street.
Yeah, Hardy Street, yeah.
I gotcha.
Well, let me tell you, I traveled with the football team a few times when Big Nasty was the coach, and a lot of times you'd stay, this is really going back, but you'd stay in hotels that had a bar at the hotel, right? Remember, that was pretty common. It was also pretty common about 9 o'clock at night to see Big Nasty down there having him a couple cocktails. He didn't mind doing that.
Well,
would that surprise you to hear that?
Doesn't surprise me. I never saw it because, you know, we had curfew.
Yeah, y'all weren't around. It would be the coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, every now and then we might have violated some curfew.
Yeah, I think we're beyond the statute of limitations now, Mark.
You're I can say it now?
Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah, we were out all the time.
But what two great men, Bobby Collins and Jim Cormier, and we are – football history owes so much to those two men. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, Southern Miss became what it became because of those guys.
Now you live in Texas. How often do you get back to Southern Miss events? I see you're wearing kind of a unique hat, a USM Golden Eagles. You don't see that USM too much anymore.
You don't see it. And I'm going to give a shout out to Madeline Short. She passed away in March, and this is for her.
And then those are wings. It looks like they're made of copper or something that's
Can
pinned into the hat.
Can I ask where you got that hat? I like that hat a lot.
Dollar General.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's a short
In Petal, Mississippi.
Okay, let me give you some advice while you're here. Don't set things down around Kelly clothing-wise.
Well,
Kelly.
They grow legs.
Kelly has had a tendency to wear other people's clothes.
He has. Okay.
But the fallen Eagles, Mark, real quick, what is that about?
It's for Southern Miss students or maybe associated with Southern Miss. They have a ceremony that's passed away during, the school year. And so they have a ceremony for whoever's met that criteria.
Right,
yeah.
In this time frame. So
I gotcha.
Well, Mark, thanks for coming by. It's fun talking to you, man.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. He visited with us a little bit yesterday. You were here for the reunion, right? Football reunion?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
He's a little upset with his daughter, though. He caught her Googling assisted living facilities.
Mark Means, everybody, former Southern Miss wide receiver and a guy we were happy to have in the studio with us. That wraps it up. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow, even in a tropical storm.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.